Good morning, everyone. My name is Paul McKnight, and I'm the pastor at a minister in training at Kenyon Baptist Church in Brixton. And I've been invited to share the message with you this morning, so that's a privilege, and I thank you for it. So, greetings to you all at Sittingbourne Baptist Church, and I pray that this is an opportunity where God speaks to your ministers through what I'm going to share. The life of Abraham. Over the last couple of weeks, or you've been looking at exploring the life of Abraham. And we're going to look at some thoughts from his life this morning. So I'm going to be reading from Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 to 19. And it'll be from the New International Version. I'm going to read these verses and the words will come up on the screen now. And then I'm going to pray. Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 to 19. It reads, "Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, 'Abraham?' 'Here I am,' he replied. Then God said, 'Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you.' Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, 'Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you.' Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, 'Father.' 'Yes, my son,' Abraham replied. 'The fire and the wood are here,' Isaac said, 'but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?' Abraham answered, 'God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son.' And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar, on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, 'Abraham, Abraham.' 'Here I am,' he replied. 'Do not lay a hand on the boy,' he said. 'Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son.' Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, 'The Lord will provide.' And to this day it is said, 'On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided.' The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, 'I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possessions of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed, because you have obeyed me.' Then Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off together for Beersheba, and Abraham stayed in Beersheba." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and opportunity we have to minister and to share your word. And I thank you, Lord, for the life of Abraham, your servant, and how he could speak to us in our time and generation today. Lord, I pray for Sittingbourne Baptists as they seek to rediscover truths that you've placed in your word at this time, that you would give them such a sense of faith, confidence, and reward them in the testing times that they're in. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If I asked you what you think when you look at the life of Abraham, a man that's aged and past it, in some would say, But what we learn from his life, that God, the God of Abraham, made Abraham exceedingly fruitful in every way, as what we're told in Genesis chapter 24. But that's not without its tests, not without its challenges. And as we look at the life of Abraham, we see from Genesis chapter 12, the first, what you consider a challenge, to leave his family and his backdrop and to travel to Canaan, where God promises in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 5, to bless him and to make him a great nation. And so at the outset, Abraham is given this promise by this unknown God of great things. I'm sure some of you that enjoy fruit or vegetables, when you go to the market and grocer, you look for a cluster or a bunch of bananas or whatever's available that you want to buy. Now, I've never been to a grocery store where they've given me, when I've asked for grapes, they've given me this. I'd probably complain. Because each one of us, within ourselves, we know that when we look for fruitfulness, whether it's by fruit from a market or fruit in our lives, we want to experience this as the fruit of walking with God. And in the life of Abraham, we see a man who's journeyed with God, and we get to Genesis chapter 22. Someone who's experienced the presence of God, God visiting him, God speaking to him, God guiding him from Genesis chapter 12 into the promises and into the purpose of God for his life. And in Genesis chapter 12, we read that Abraham is 75 years old when this journey begins. You can imagine, for most of us at this point in our lives, when we were fitter and we were going for these walks that they encouraged us to do during this pandemic time, we've been doing it to protect our health. But I can encourage you that this man at the age of 75 is doing it because God's called him to walk with him and to go to this promised land. And so Abraham, at the age of 75, sets off with his family to a promised place, a great name, a great nation, by faith. And so while we're in this journey of lockdown, a lot of things that we are doing is by faith. And journeying with God at the outset in the life of Abraham is what each one of us experiences in our Christian walk, the walk of faith. Now, I know most of us wouldn't say that we're 75 years old. I remember when I was in my late 20s, I went on a hike. That was a time when I felt my body could do anything. And I went on a hike, and I went for an 18-mile hike, and we got up at 4 o'clock, me and my friend, 4 o'clock in the morning to go for a hike. He loved hiking. That was what his life was like. And at the time, I didn't like him very much when I discovered it was 18 miles. But 18-mile hike across Guildford, across tough terrain. I was equipped with boots and right equipment. But it was a very challenging hike from 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, finishing at 4 in the afternoon. We had breaks, but I was exhausted. That was just for health and looking after myself. This is not the kind of hike we're talking about, or walk, when the Word of God tells us about walking or journeying with God. Sometimes the terrain is very tough. And for a 75-year-old person to make the effort with his family, it takes faith. And Abraham, at that point in his life, began to journey with an unknown God into terrain that was not familiar to him. Friends, at this time, we've all been told that we're living in unprecedented times. And as a church, across the nation and across the world, we have journeyed into places that have never been before. To even use Zoom, to even use the formats that we're familiar with right now, technology that has been used in advance to connect us with other people in the light of social distancing, we are experiencing and learning new things. And at that age, Abraham was willing to learn new things. If you've been following the news recently and the passing of the late Colonel Tom Moore, Tom Moore in the UK was an army veteran. And at the age of 100 years old, in the light of this lockdown, in the light of the crisis in our National Health Service, Tom Moore decided at the age of 100 to do a walk as well. But it wasn't a walk up to the Mount of Moriah or to a promised land called Canaan, but it was a walk around his garden. And at the age of 100 years old, Tom Moore did something that he thought he could do, and he achieved something he didn't expect to do. And each one of us in our Christian journey, we can be like that. We start off walking and encountering things that we never expected. And I'm sure over the last 9 months, each one of us could agree that we've experienced things that we never expected. And Tom Moore, at the end of his walk, was able to raise £33 million to help with the NHS cause during this lockdown. And that's amazing, isn't it? At that age, when so many would have thought he should be thinking of himself and his health, he was thinking of others. And he put his body to the test. And he saw rewards to help the nation's causes. God put something within us, church. Despite our age, despite our limitations, God puts something within us that can work out great things if we put our faith in him, if we walk and journey with him, and if we believe him, despite our age or natural limitations. And Abram and his family set out from Ur of the Chaldees to the land of Canaan and journeyed with God. And the things that we learn that come out in Genesis chapter 22 that are similar to Genesis chapter 12. Abraham in Genesis chapter 22 has slightly been there before. But while he was 75 when he set out in Genesis chapter 12, at this point in his life, he's over 100 years old. 25 years have passed. And God tests Abraham and calls him Abraham. And it's no longer Abraham replying, but a different person. Friends, we are Christians, different. We have come to know the Lord Jesus and we are in Christ. And the way God speaks to us is in Christ, not the old person we used to be, but the new person he's made us to be. And Abraham experienced God, the same God speaking to him, but testing him in a very different way, calling him as he had in Genesis 12, but calling him to a land he would show him, a mountain where he would have to offer his son. So you can see these opening verses of this passage that God and Abraham are journeying. They're both going to a new place, a different place. God is testing him differently in this chapter than Abraham has been tested before. And Abraham has experienced lots of challenges within his own walk and his family. And in the life of Abraham, in the previous chapters, we read in Genesis chapter 17, verse 1, that Abraham is 99 years old. Wow. To have reached so long and so far into your life, you begin to think that it's coming to an end. You live in a reflective stage as opposed to a future ahead of you. And yet God holds eternity and time in his hands. And God doesn't look at our situations the way we look at it. And Abraham at 99 years old, God visits Abraham and gives him a promise of transforming his life. Friends, when we think we've come to the end of our lives, the point where we think that's it, game over, God still has a plan and a future. And as Tom Moore shown us at the age of 100, when we think he's coming to an end, he shows us he's just getting started. And in Genesis chapter 22, when it seems like Abraham's life has completed, he's got his son, Isaac, the promise that he was looking for, the heir that he's hoped for. God is just getting started. So for some of us who are mature in our age, who've settled into a situation where we think that's it, We can only look back now. I can encourage you this morning. God is just getting started. Do not write yourself off, because God doesn't. Abraham, at the age over 100 years old, in Genesis chapter 21, 100 years old, verse 5, it says that Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born. 100 years old. Imagine. And giving birth to something new. And yet, in Genesis chapter 22, when you think that's it, God still plans to work through Abraham and the life of his offspring Isaac. And so for some of us, in this testing times, when we think the doors are closing, it's getting dimmer, God wants to encourage you. Don't write yourself off. God hasn't. When you think it's coming to an end, it's just getting started. And so Abraham is in that situation where he himself sees that God is doing things that he wasn't expecting and taking him to places as he journeys with God. That's the first thing I want us to think about. Do not write yourself off, church, because God hasn't written you off. Even when we are old, even when we are mature, even when we think that we should have given up, God still has his promises to fulfill in our lives. At the age of 100, he gave birth. And at the age, maybe 120, when Isaac's fully grown, he's now being tested. That's the first thing to think about. Abraham is obedient to God, just as chapter 12 shows us. No questions. This would have been the point where he asked himself, why would God want to use me and use my son as a sacrifice when I have been waiting all these years? And it would have been questions about his thoughts, what he thinks about the situation. And any one of us in that situation would have asked those questions. What is God saying to me and you? And is God saying something to us during that time? And the passage yet shows you that Abraham, in verse 3, gets up and does what God told him to do. So during the 3 days of journeying with God, where he would have thoughts about what he's been told to do, to offer up his son, that would have been the point where he could have said, I'm not going to do it. That would have been the point where he would have questioned, why God? Why do you want me to offer up Isaac? That would have been the point where he would have made the choices and said, I'm not planning to offer up my son or do anything like that. But during those 3 days in his journey of faith, he decides to obey God. You know, at this time, friends, where we are exposed to lots of voices that we are told to listen to, Abraham would have been thinking about what his son would have thought. If he had told his wife Sarah, he would have been thinking about his wife Sarah's thoughts about sacrificing Isaac. The servants, too, would have questioned what he thought. And not even his own thoughts controlled his decisions. This is mad. How can I offer up my son? But yet, Isaac and Abraham journeyed by faith, believing that God would step in and do something when they got to the mountaintop. And that, friends, I've got to encourage you that God, when we don't think it's possible, God still has an ace up his sleeve. He still plans to do something when we follow and obey him. And that has been the experience of Abraham over the last 20, 30 years. God spoke to Abraham, promised him a heir, and blessed him, and make him a father of multitudes in chapter 17. God spoke to Abraham. God used Abraham to minister deliverance to Lot in the time of judgment against Sodom and Gomorrah. God caused Abraham to meet up with Melchizedek. God caused Abraham to step in with kings. There were so many instances where God stepped in to the situation for Abraham. And Abraham's confidence is now Abraham, that God is with them and they're going up to a mountain where God will step in. Friends, we've got to be sure at this time, where we're journeying with God, at the right times, God himself will step in. And as we look at this passage, we see that what was not possible for us, what was not possible for Abraham, with God, it was possible. And sometimes, if we're honest, there are times in our experience where God says something to us and we think, that's not possible. How can God do that? I want to encourage you. The promises of God are based upon what God can do. And we see clearly in the life of Abraham at the age of maybe over 100 years old, his faith had to be and was completely in what God could do. We are in a time where we are not medical experts. We have to rely on what the government and what the medical experts tell us. But as the people of God, I would encourage you, our confidence is in what God can do. And at times when we listen to the voices of other people, whether it's the conspiracy theories or the scientists or the government guidelines, we must ultimately place our faith and our confidence in what God can do and what his promises are over our lives. And I'm sure that medically, Abraham was aware that he couldn't conceive at the age of 99. Sarah was definitely convinced that she couldn't have children and laughed at the idea. But yet God, what they thought was not possible, with God it was possible. Church, we have to be the people that continually say what was convincing to them. With God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. And even though we are restricted, whether it's in our physical health, whether it's in our lockdown, we are serving a God who is unlimited and unrestricted. You know, in the early 90s, I used to work for a Christian charity, and one of my friends that was there, named Robert. Robert, years later, would become a missionary in China. And in 93, I met him and I worked together with him. In 1998, I went on a mission trip to the Middle East with some other friends, not Robert, but a friend called Chris. Now, Chris had a heart for mission. Chris, later on, would go off to China to become a missionary. And in the early 2000s, Chris was serving God in a mission field in a small village in China. And in 2004, Chris got married and I went over to his wedding. He invited me to the wedding and I said, okay, I will come. And I left it. On the day of the wedding, I'd spent a couple of weeks in Queensland and I went up to where the wedding was being held. And I surprised him and his wife. And he said, oh, this is great, Paul. I didn't know you were coming. But in my mind, I thought, but you invited me. And my silence was indicated as if I was not coming. And yet I'd received the invitation. I said I was coming. And I appeared at the wedding on the day of the wedding, because I had invited and I said I was going to do it. How much more is our God going to stick to the promises that he has made over our lives, regardless of how long it takes? And so this friend, Chris, was in China and he was serving the Lord. And while he was there, he met someone called Robert. Now, I didn't know Robert had gone to China, the Robert that I worked with in 93 at this Christian charity. And during the conversation, this Robert and Chris, they began to share their experiences. And during the conversation, for some strange reason, my name came up. So I got a call and I spoke to Chris months later. And he said to me, we were talking about you, me and someone else who knows you here. And in my mind, I'm thinking, I don't know anyone else in China at this time. But they had met and they had connected through God. And they began to share. And for some reason, my name came up. And I had a prophecy in 96 that God would use me to make my name great. And in my mind, I thought, Lord, I'm not interested in being great. That's not what I'm thinking of. But across the world, at that time in China, someone had brought my name to their attention and it had connected the two people that were there. Now, it wasn't me that was there, it was God, the God of all nations, connecting Robert and Chris. And beyond my control, beyond my plans, God was at work. Friends, we are locked down, but beyond our control, beyond our plans, God is at work. And so in the life of Abraham, beyond his plans, beyond his control, God is at work. And what was not possible for him, this God he served, it was possible. And that was what he believed when he journeyed up that mountain for 3 days. He'd seen God do impossible things and make them possible before. Help him give birth to Ishmael. Help him give birth to Isaac. Things that didn't seem possible. With God, they were possible. So as he journeyed up towards Mount Moriah, his faith was that the God that he was worshipping could make things possible. I want to encourage you, whether you're young, whether you're old, that God can make things possible in your life. I was called into the ministry at the age of 26. I'm 20, almost 25 years along since then. And as I was called into ministry, I remember thinking, I don't know anything about the call of God. Don't know how that looks like, what it would be like. And at that time, I was not considering myself to be a leader, let alone minister, let alone a pastor. But I asked God, what was the call? What was it that he wanted me to be so that I wouldn't waste time? And he gave me an impression in my heart that it was a call into pastoral leadership. So I said to my friends at the time, I think I'm called into pastoral to be a pastor. I wasn't even leading a group. I wasn't even involved in church. And they said to me, you're not called to be a pastor, just forget it. So I forgot it. Weeks later, I was reminded again of this same impression and same conviction that I was called to be a minister. And it was getting stronger. And so despite what my friends thought, despite not seeing it, God had planned it and called me into it. And friends, Abraham, despite what he could not see, despite what his wife would have thought, what his son would have thought, what even he thought, he obeyed and God called him to be the father of multitudes. And he was willing to listen not to his friends, his servants, his wife, or even the voice of his son, or even his own thoughts. He was willing to listen to the thoughts of God and God alone. And even at this time where we are convinced to hear theories and ideas from others through medical and governments, as a church of God, we are encouraged to listen to the word of God and the promises that those words bring. So that's the second thing that I want to encourage you. In God we trust, and all things through our God are made possible. We say that passage from Ephesians, now to him is able. So at age of 75, God made Abraham believe that he was able to make him a great nation. At the age of 99, God made Abraham believe that he could become Abraham. At the age of 100, God fulfilled his promise to Abraham to be a father of Isaac. And at the age of over 100, maybe 115, God made Abraham believe that he could be indeed the father of multitudes. And that's what we have to recognize. And Ephesians brings it out. To him is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. How? According to his power. Where? At work in me and you. Friends, don't let our age, our background, our culture, our understanding hinder us from fulfilling what God says is possible in our lives. That's the second thing. The final thing that I want us to learn from in the life and the journey with God through Abraham is that the blessing that God gave to Abraham was bigger than him. You know, so many times we want something that we can contain, even when it's very small. Yet God has planned for his blessings to be a picture of it, definitely can only come from him. And in the life of Abraham, when he's at an age where it's pretty clear he cannot do these things, it can only be God. He sees God do extraordinary things and promise him things at a point in his life where it could have been so easily the end. And God promises to bless Abraham in verse 15. He says to him, or 17, he says, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars. Now, when we say blessing, we tend to think of it in our context as someone sneezing, as someone having a cold. Bless you. But the word blessing there is more of a wider implication. The blessings that would have an impact on his personal life, but on his land, on his descendants. Blessings from God would have an impact on everything that Abraham is involved with. Everything. And as the people of God, sometimes we bless people, but we don't realize that God uses us to be a blessing. And even during this lockdown, the communities that we have seen around us can see the church be a blessing to them. Citizen Born Baptist, I want to encourage you that the blessings of God over your church are bigger than you. I shared the story of my friends in China. I have a friend who I went into the bank in late 2012. Went into the bank one afternoon to make some payments. And as I walked past this person, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And as I finished my transaction, the person was sitting in the queue. So as they went out, I began to talk to them and walk with them. And I can't remember what I said to this person, but I made arrangements to follow up and to make contact with them. And so as I did, I shared about Jesus, my Christian faith, and I spoke a few words to their lives, only to discover that they believed that God had used me to speak things that I did not know into their life. See, my words were bigger than what I was experiencing. And a year later, they had a baby dedication for their firstborn, and they invited me to this dedication. And some of their friends there, they said, oh, you must be Paul. Martin's spoken of you. I'm thinking, really? Why would you do that for? He said, yeah, he told them that I'd spoken things about his life that I didn't know. And I'm thinking, wow, I did realize, did I? And I realized that the blessings of God over my life are bigger than me. And friends, we've got to realize that for ourselves. That Abraham realized that in his life, that the call of God, when he was called in chapter 12 of Genesis, and the experience that he had in Genesis 22, were far bigger than him. And it resulted in his obedience, not just blessed him, because he didn't have to sacrifice his son, but it also meant that he was a blessing to many others, his descendants. And we see in the following verses how even his brother Nahor had been blessed with 12 children as a result of the time and his obedience to God. Abraham's faithfulness and faith in God saw God bless not just Abraham, but his descendants, which includes me and you. Friends, we've got to realize that the blessings of God, even during this time, are bigger than the pandemic, bigger than COVID-19, bigger than our lockdown. And even though we feel restricted, the God that we worship and serve is unlimited, is unrestricted. And what he teaches us through the life of Abraham is what he can do when we think we're coming to the end of our lives. What he will do if we surrender to him. We sing that song, All to Jesus, I Surrender. And Abraham truly did that when he offered and was willing to offer up his son above his own thoughts, above his son's thoughts, above his wife's thoughts, and the thoughts of his background, Abraham obeyed, and he brought blessings far beyond what he could ever expect or imagine. We have to recognize at this time, when we are being tested in different ways, that as we journey with God, he will take us to unknown places. And I'm sure Sitting Born Baptist has known that in experience. But as we put our faith in God, God will meet us and show us things when we get to the mountain top. Things that we didn't expect to see and breakthroughs we didn't expect to experience. And as we realize that our future is in a God that despite how old we are or how young we are, he can do it above all that we ask or think. And he's not written us off during this time. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this message, this time to minister your word. I thank you, Lord, for Sitting Bourne Baptist and all the ministry there. And Father, I pray that you would minister grace and strength to them. Just as you multiplied things into the life of Abraham, I pray that you would, through your grace, multiply great things into the life of Sitting Bourne Baptist. I thank you, Father God, for your testimony in their lives, even during this testing time. I just want to share a few things that came onto my spirit. To the ministers and leaders of the congregation at Sitting Bourne Baptist, I had a vision of you. You had paper and plans that you had in place before this COVID-19 pandemic. Plans for a new ministry. And you've been frustrated because of what's happened with the lockdown. You've thought, well, what's going to happen now that these things have taken place? What do we do with these plans and this new ministry and these things that we were going to do? And the Lord says to you, even that passage in Jeremiah, that I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. So just as you think that your plans are not working, the Lord says, I have plans for you. And I will make those plans come to pass. And even though you're frustrated, the Lord says, be at peace, for I have many plans for your church. Do not think that just because there's been a delay, that there's not been a desire for it to happen. For God says, I have plans for you, and that you are to know that they are going to take place at the appropriate time. The Lord also says to some of you that are young families that you are fearful, just as Abraham was afraid, and your fears and worries have increased. And some of you would agree to being worriers. You would say you've worried before the pandemic, you're worrying now more so because of the situation with homeschooling. But the Lord says, do not worry and do not be afraid. Do not worry and do not be afraid. For faith is what pleases me. And I am with you, and I am have been an ever-present help in this troubling times. For put your faith in me, says the Lord. Do not allow your fear to control your family or your decisions, says the Lord. Put your faith in me. Thank you, Jesus. I just pray, Father, for Sitting Bourne Baptist, that they will experience your presence during this time. I pray for those that have given up hope in the ministry call, that you would stir up that gift within them again. And that even though it's been a long time since the promises that you gave to them years ago have been fulfilled, I pray, oh God, that they will be confident that just as you did with the life of Abraham, you fulfilled what you did over a long period of years. You still have your hand on them and you will fulfill your promises to them. I pray that you would stir up those that have felt called years ago or felt that the call has been quashed or it's over with, Lord. I pray that you would stir up in their hearts a confidence in you to minister your fulfillment into their lives, even during this time. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much, Sitting Bourne Baptist, and I pray that the Holy Spirit has ministered something afresh into your situation. And I pray that God would cause you to know his blessing, his fruitfulness, just as you do see with these grapes, and his faithfulness being with you as you journey with him during this season. God bless you.